Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Welcome to Buckeye Extra, football edition. This is day two from Chicago. Media days, Big Ten media days. Bill Rabinowitz is here with me, Rob Aller, and Joey Kaufman across from me. And it was a lively day, boys. I would say 90% of the media gathered around Jim Harbaugh today. Yesterday was Ohio State. They cleared out. Today was Michigan and Northwestern. The other side of things, half the teams.
It's good they do Ohio State and Michigan on different days.
They always do that.
Yeah, it's good. Keep them. It's like you got to, you know. hey. You know,
they're together at the luncheon the second day.
Right.
But that's about it.
Yeah, keep those guys separated. The story of the day, I think, was Jim Harbaugh being asked about his comments on a podcast Thursday on The Athletic, saying that controversy follows Urban Meyer everywhere he's gone. I mean, he complimented Meyer first, say he's won everywhere he's been, but controversy has also followed everywhere he's been. So today, instead of kind of pulling back, as Joey said, he doubled down on his comments. Well, Joey, what were the comments? You know,
we probably should pull them up for accuracy's sake, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote about it for the paper, so. Pretty intriguing.
Yeah, we can quote it in full.
I think basically he said something like he was asked if it was out of context and if he regretted saying it.
First, they have a morning session where they talk for about 15 minutes, and he was asked for, is there any more context you'd like to provide to this? And he said, no context you should know about. I don't think it was anything new or a bombshell. It's many things you've all understood and written about. And then later in the afternoon, it was followed up on again, and he basically gave the same line again. He was pressed again, and he said, I don't see why people are so afraid to say what they think.
Yeah, I mean, so, credit to him on one hand for speaking his mind, but he's just an odd bird, man. Let's just lay it out there. Jim Harbaugh is an odd bird, whether he's crazy like a fox or just plain crazy.
Was that a question you ever asked him?
What? Yes. I asked him a couple years ago, his first year at Michigan. I went up to a media day there and said, people in Columbus aren't sure if you're crazy like a fox or just plain crazy, Jim. And he kind of had that glazed look, stared kind of out into the distance and said, I'm not crazy. So there you have it. I think after today, more people might think he's a little off.
Well,
Bill?
He's not crazy. I actually knew him 20-some years ago, and I covered him, it seems like a different lifetime ago, for the Baltimore Ravens. And he treated me great. I mean, he was very cooperative then. And he's not uncooperative now. He's just, it's like he's at a different speed or gear or like, I don't know how you describe it. It's like a different wavelength.
He plays games too a little bit.
I'm sure he does. But he's on a different wavelength than everyone else, it seems. And, you know, here's the thing. He's 0-4 against Ohio State. He's not on the hot seat because he's just not. But there's impatience Dan Arbor. It's time for him to get the results they paid a lot of money to get, expected him to get, and they haven't. And to lose the way they did to Ohio State last year, and to lose in the bowl game to Florida, which was in some ways uglier because it was, you know, they obviously, their hearts weren't in it. They've got a lot to prove this year, and I asked him, as did many others, about that, about soul-searching after the Ohio State game, and he embraced all that stuff. He didn't back away from the pressure, the expectations, any of that, and this is going to be a pivotal year for Michigan.
Yeah, Joey, you liked his quote. He's being picked, or Michigan's being picked, to win the conference.
They've been the trendy preseason pick.
Yeah, Phil Steele, I think you mentioned Phil Steele. You wrote about it for tomorrow. He did embrace that, right?
He did. He said they have to embrace the suck. They kind of said everyone's positive this time of year, but you have to kind of use last year's motivation. So it certainly kind of looms large over the program, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, and at the same time, he says embrace the suck. He says we're getting all these platitudes, and, you know, it's great. But then he turns around and says he thinks that they do deserve to be picked number one.
Right, right.
He says that that's the right spot for us. So he's kind of playing that psychological game. You know, everything he says. I went and listened to the Athletic podcast. We might as well just replay that today, because everything he said today, he said on that podcast verbatim. He even dropped an Anaconda reference today about how you have to tighten around your goals and get even tighter, and he said it on the podcast. So he's kind of just, it's like pull the string on his back and let go of it, and the same little comments come out.
The best part of today was when he was asked about his comments about Urban Meyer. It was another follow-up question, was, were you trying to poke the bear a little bit? And he said, I don't like making animal analogies.
Right.
Which was 3 hours after he brought up an anaconda.
Totally weird. Yeah.
Maybe he's only a reptile. Maybe he doesn't do mammals, just reptiles.
Yeah, he's freaked out by that.
None of this stuff matters. All that's going to matter is what they do this fall, and especially against Ohio State in November, and bowl game or whatever comes after. All this stuff is just, it doesn't matter, because he'll be measured on really that one game.
Right. And he, you know, in terms of X's and O's with Michigan, to get away from his quotes into what they're going to look like, they are transitioning offensively to, he said, there's going to be a lot more shotgun, a lot more RPOs, a lot more no huddle. And so he brought in this
Josh Gattis
from Alabama. And it's going to look like a little more modern offense. If you remember the Ohio State-Michigan game last year, the big knock was that he just ran that old, almost Woody Blow style of run it right up the gut, and it cost them. They should have, could have won that game. Well, maybe not last year.
Not last year.
But still, if they'd have opened it up maybe a little bit.
Sure.
I think the Gattis hire was actually a pretty big deal, and it's kind of been undersold in a lot of ways. I mean, Josh Gattis was a guy who was in line to be the next offensive coordinator at Alabama, and that's a job that it's a launch pad to being a head coach. You just saw it with Mike Locksley, where he went from being the Alabama OC with a spotty head coaching track record, he had another chance as a head coach. So that would have been a move that Josh Gattis could have made, and he takes a risk going to Ann Arbor. People have gotten kind of frustrated with Jim Harbaugh there, and they need to modernize their offense. They're running an offense from the Stone Age. I think it's only five FBS teams operated at a slower tempo than Michigan last year, and like three or four of those teams were triple option teams. So, and that's as antiquated as an offense as there was in college football. And I think Jim Harbaugh is right. Shea Patterson is a guy who can move. I think he's well suited to a spread offense. Dylan McCaffrey is another guy they have backing him up who's well suited to that offense. Most of the quarterbacks they're recruiting out of high school are running RPO spread stuff. And this is a little bit of a chicken or the egg thing, because one of the biggest handicaps for Michigan under Harbaugh is they haven't found a quarterback. And the one, have they not found a quarterback because they don't have an offense that accentuates the talents of any of their quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Or have they not had good quarterbacks? I think it's probably some of both, but now they actually have Shea Patterson, who's probably the best quarterback he's had there, and they're running an offense that is based in 2019.
The big question, though, is what happens when it's, as somebody pointed out, somebody asked him at the podium, what happens if it's third and two late in the game, and your instinct is to kind of be conservative, but you've handed the keys to Josh Gattis? Are you going to let him keep the keys? He said, yes, I will. We'll see.
Yeah, it's, how much is he going to meddle? I think that's the real question.
Josh Gattis, a little scuttlebutt here. It's great talking to the national writers at times because they hear all this stuff. Apparently, you know, Nick Saban called out his assistants recently, saying that their heart wasn't in it last year because they had one foot out the door. Well, Mike Locksley, who was at Alabama, you know, he spoke out about that and clarified that those comments were directed at him, that they were directed at someone else. Well, it'd have to be Josh Gattis. And, you know, the insider story is that Josh Gattis was looking for head coaching jobs while I was at Alabama, and Nick Saban was not big on that. So who knows what to believe there. But there's a little bit there. Let's take a break from our sponsors. We love our sponsors. And we'll be right back.
At Rosati Windows, staying competitive is really pretty easy because everything they do is done locally right here in Columbus, Ohio. They are a one-stop shop from the sales force to manufacturing your windows in their 60,000 square foot facility on Roberts Road to the installers, as well as pulling any permits needed. Keeping it local, this could be one of the reasons why Rosati Windows is a third-time recipient as a Columbus top pick. Mike's visibility around town and around the showroom helps, but it's the personal touch that he places on every single order that goes through the door that has people constantly recommending Rosati Windows to their neighbors, family, and friends.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for joining us. You can check us out on iTunes, and you can comment on whether you like what we're doing. We're open to suggestions. And just want to put the period on Myers, the comment about Urban Meyer, our boss comments about Urban Meyer. Joey, what do you have on that?
I feel this is an issue of, you were talking about whether it's crazy, and I think all coaches have some screws loose, but on the controversial scale of quotes, this wasn't really that ridiculous. He said that controversies followed Urban Meyer everywhere he's been. He's not entirely wrong there. I think if you read it very technically, maybe controversy didn't follow Bowling Green or Utah, but he's not entirely wrong. I think this is largely a case of the messenger, a guy who's 0-4 in the rivalry, and maybe shouldn't be kind of popping off like this when you haven't proven yourself.
I think it's the game. I mean, you're right. It's not that big a controversial thing to say because it's there's some validity to it,
right?
It's Iowa State, Michigan. You just don't. It's like Bo or Woody back in the day saying something about the other one. That is really what this
it's
is.
It's also July 19th, and there ain't nothing else going on.
Right. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I'm not going to rag on him for saying something interesting because
I wrote about it, so I guess I won't either.
Half the coaches say just dull cliches. So why not?
Yeah. All right. Moving on to other teams. Bill, you were there for Penn State.
Franklin, last year.
Eloquent James Franklin, yes. Usually.
Another heartbreaking loss for Penn State against Ohio State last year. And after that game, James Franklin said, look, we're a great program. We're not an elite program like Ohio State. So I asked him today, what does it take to make that leap? Have you done it? What does it take? And he basically said, it's just a little bit more in a lot of different areas. It's not one glaring hole. It's going to be an interesting year for Penn State because they lost their leader, Trace McSorley, who was just a fantastic quarterback. He's gone. Saquon Barkley obviously left last year. So they feel like they've got talent, but they are a notch below Ohio State, I think, and they haven't surpassed them as a program. On the recruiting trail, Ohio State's taken some of Penn State's players from its. And so this is kind of an interesting year for Penn State because of all that. How much of their success was really Barkley and then McSorley, and how much is legitimately their program's on track?
I just thought occurred to me, sometimes we're too close to a situation. And I think if you step back and look at this, we always say, what's wrong with Penn State? What's wrong with Michigan? Sometimes we forget Ohio State has taken this thing to another level, that they have elevated, and it makes other programs look worse. I'm not so sure other programs are really worse than they were 10, 15 years ago. It's just Ohio State is elite now.
Penn State is clearly better than they were at the end of the Paterno era.
Right.
He was a figurehead at best. They were, you talk about antiquated, they were almost non-competitive certain times.
Right.
And they had their years. But they had long periods where they were mediocre. And then that's not them anymore. I mean, Franklin and Bill O'Brien before him did a hell of a job in bringing that program back from the real depths after we all know what. And so, but sometimes the hardest step is the last step, to make that step from, as he said, great to elite. Because they are a great program. That's a great program.
Right. He also had some time with Pat Fitzgerald.
He won
Northwestern. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great quote. Good coach. He gets knocked for losing the close ones, but at least he's in the close ones. And if you're Northwestern, to be within two scores in the fourth quarter, that's like a victory in itself. I mean, I remember the days when they were worse than Rutgers is now.
What was the record? What was the consecutive losses record?
Oh, it was just 30s, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe worse.
Yeah. And the other thing, the shocking stat, for those who like stats, the shocking stat for me was Rutgers.
Yes,
which
it is.
This is the stat. This is the first time in 10 years that they have returned their offensive coordinator. They've had a new offensive coordinator every year.
Until this year. And the guy, John McNulty, who's the coordinator this year for the second year in a row, was the guy 10 years ago
who was the
repeat coordinator.
Yeah, and you know, it's always a little tug. It's always a little uncomfortable because Chris Ash, it's no secret, he's on the hot seat. Yeah. He's like burning.
And they probably would have fired him if they had money in the program.
Right, and so here he is today touting the program. They're going to be building this new facility in a year or two, and unless, I won't say a miracle, but unless they really turn it around, he won't be the guy likely that's there for that. So it's like a guy talking about what he's going to get next Christmas when, you know, he's not even going to be
around. I think if they won one game last year, their opener, then they lost every other game. I think if they even won like four games this year, which won't be easy.
That won't be easy. I think, depending on,
you know, they're not going to beat Ohio State, they're not going to beat the Big Four. But if they're competitive in the other games, maybe. Now, that's, they got to do that, and they haven't done that.
And those teams may be a little better.
Maryland will be better, I think.
Should be. Yeah, I think so.
Indiana will be okay.
Right. So it's a challenge.
Chris Ash was kind of funny because of all the programs, Rutgers would probably benefit greatly from divisional realignment. They're kind of stuck in the East. And he didn't play that at all or stump for that at all. He basically said it's probably not going to happen and moved on.
I respect he owns it. I mean, here's a guy who isn't just talk. What he says, I believe. He's always been, when he was at Ohio State, straight shooter, honest guy, ask a question, get an honest answer. That's Chris Ash. So I feel for him, but it's almost like I feel for him so much that get away from Rutgers.
The question, if I was in his year, I would ask him, he was kind of a promising defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Why did he take the Rutgers job?
Head coach. Big Ten.
And if you can recruit risk, it's the same old kind of...
Chiano did it.
You know, if you can keep some of the homegrown talent, you can be successful there. The problem was the administration then was a mess, a disaster. They fired their president. I think they fired their athletic director. She was a disaster. Remember that? And so, in some ways, he never really had a chance. But at least he's not having a chance getting paid reasonably well, you know?
Yeah, and that's the most time we'll spend on Rutgers all season.
Yeah, but, you know,
Rutgers week.
Ohio State probably wouldn't have won the national championship in 2014 without Chris Ash. I think that's fair to say that his transformation of the defense, not just him, I mean, Luke Fickell helped, certainly, but it was Chris Ash's defense more than anybody else's.
Definitely worked out better than Alex Grinch coming in.
Yes, it did.
Who now is at Oklahoma as our defensive coordinator. Actually, probably a step up for Alex Grinch, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's the guy.
Right.
Well, we've covered it all. Thanks for listening in. Again, go on iTunes. If you have questions, you can email Joey. Joey, can you give your email address? So if they have questions, they can...
You can email them at jkaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, at dispatch.com.
Great.
Give us some podcast topics. We got about 2 weeks before training camp, so we can kind of talk about anything you like here.
Yep. We're going to go get some deep dish pizza, and we're out from Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.